intensive care unit. The hospital is currently treating three patients with coronavirus. Meanwhile, the latest government figures show 24,950 new cases have been recorded in the past 24 hours. The number of new infections has fallen for 6 days in a row. And runners, walkers, cyclists and swimmers are taking part in a new summer fitness challenge. The Cheltenham World Relay sees people collectively travel around the world to reach the other places, which are also called Cheltenham. It's been organised by the Friends of Cheltenham Samaritans, and keen cyclist Nigel Bethel is taking part.
The idea is that we get as many people join in, do as many different activities as they like, cycling, you know, swimming, you can do paddleboarding, canoeing, parachute jumping if you really want to, and everyone contribute by adding all those miles together over the 6 week period.
To the weather, remaining mild with overnight lows of 14. Tuesday we'll see a few showers and highs of 21. And for an update anytime, you can now ask your smart speaker to play BBC News for Gloucestershire.
GFM 96.6 Caribbean News.
Minister of Education, Youth and Information Favour Williams has revealed that the government has made significant progress to advance the construction of STEM schools across the island and are going into a design competition for those schools, being aware of the urgency to have STEM infused in all our schools. Williams explained that these STEM schools will also be accompanied by a shift in the overall delivery of education for Jamaicans. Our national standards curriculum is STEM-based and that has been in existence since 2018. This will require a number of things, including more training for our teachers and to have a STEM-based physical environment, she stated whilst attending Thursday's ceremony that commemorated the launch of the NCB Foundation and Amber Group partnership with the Heart NSTA Trust. This is one of several initiatives being introduced to encourage the study of STEM subjects. Senator Natalie Campbell-Rodriguez has argued that urgent attention is needed to provide support for men who are left behind in society. She made the point during her maiden State of the Nation address on Friday. To address this challenge, Campbell Rodriguez believes that the time has come for Jamaica to consider affirmative action for men who are interested in accessing advanced education. She highlighted the disparities that exist in a number of men versus women enrolled at the University of the West Indies, with figures from UWI's 2019 to 2020 graduating class highlighting that only 31.6% were men, emphasising that the differences in enrolment rates create long-term challenges to society. She also sought to dismiss the view that affirmative action for men reinforced patriarchy in society. She further cautioned the gender fight struggle has not been about one gender outflanking the other. It has been about parity. We will have a problem if our society has a shortage of highly educated and emotionally stable men. Campbell Rodriguez explained that too many men are failing in school due to long-standing cultural perceptions about educated men and the lack of positive role models. She stressed too many of our males are confused and lost given the lack of role models and the burden of being a man placed on them by society. There is elation in Guyana as Chelsea Edgehill won her first victory at the Tokyo Olympic Games in table tennis. Edgehill won her opening match 4-1 against Fiji's Sally Yee in the women's singles preliminary round on July the 23rd. She was the first athlete to start the Olympic action for Guyana. Edgehill advances to the next place on July the 24th, facing the Republic of Korea's Shin Yubin. I am Jenny Batchelor, and that was the Caribbean News from GFM on 96.6 FM and online at gloucesterfm.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Community Link Show. I'm your host, Heather, and you're listening to GFM 96.6. We have got a cracking show lined up for you today and some great music to play for you as well. Yes, hello and welcome to today's episode of the Community Link Show. It is Monday, the 26th of July. And yeah, we've got a great show lined up for you today with some brilliant music as well. So please do get in touch and let me know how you are. How are you keeping? I know that this time last week when I spoke to you all, it was so unbelievably hot. And it's nice to see that it's a little bit cooler now. It's still warm. Don't get me wrong. It's still warm and it's still nice out there, but it is a little bit cooler, which is nice. So yeah, please do get in touch. Let me know what you've been up to. So much has been going on. We've had the Tokyo Olympic Games. Have you been watching that? If so, what have you been watching? Also, I just heard on the news then as well that coronavirus new infections have fallen for 6 days in a row. So isn't that really, really good news? Let's keep that going. Like I said, we've got a great show lined up for you today and some brilliant music to play. I'm going to be playing my interview that I did with Jenny Groves, who is the founder and CEO of Battle Scars. So we're going to be hearing a little bit from Jenny a little bit later on. Also, Gloucester, I need to hear your good deeds. Keep them coming in. I want to hear more Gloucester good deeds. Get in touch and let me know what you've been up to, what other people have been doing for you, and we can give them a shout out. And while I'm playing this next song, just give me a call to let me know you're listening. Our number is 01452 546 400, or you can send me an email by emailing studio@gloucesterfm.com, or you can text me. You can text GFM and your message to 666. Please make sure if you're calling, you give me a call whilst this next track is playing, because it will just come straight through to me, because this is live radio and we don't have a switchboard. So I'm going to play, the first cut is The Deepest by Wendy Walker. Enjoy.
I'll try to love her.
go. That was Wendy Walker with The First Cut Is the Deepest. Welcome back to the Community Link show here on GFM. I'm your host, Heather. If you miss any of today's show, you can always listen again on our website if you go to listen again, or it will be repeated tomorrow at 11. So coming up now, I'm going to play you a conversation that I had recently with the brilliant Jenny Groves, who is the founder and CEO of Battle Scars, which is an organisation that she set up, which provide support for anybody experiencing self-harm. So just a little trigger warning for all you listeners out there that it does talk about themes of self-harm. Really, really interesting conversation and incredible stuff that Jenny and her team do over at Battle Scars. So listen up, I'm going to play her conversation now. This is what we were speaking about. So Jenny, welcome to the Community Link show. Thank you so much for coming on. So, Jenny, you're here from Battle Scars. Would you like to introduce what you guys do?
Yeah, it's in a nutshell, we're here to support anybody affected by self-harm. That is like, covers just about everything we do. To be a bit more specific, obviously, even though we are based in Leeds, West Yorkshire, the majority of our services now are available to anybody in the UK. COVID did have the positive things. It made us go virtual. So that was quite helpful for a lot of people. We currently work more with adults than we do with children, even though we do cover all ages and all genders. Also, our definition of self-harm is very, very broad. So we cover just about anything really that anybody could do to themselves, from like scratching and pulling hair to obviously cutting and hitting, things like overdosing, self-poisoning. We do include eating disorders or disordered eating, so it doesn't have to have the diagnosis. We also include psychological harm to the self, things like obsessive negative thinking, self-sabotage, stuff like that. So like I said, our definition is quite broad. So we do a lot of virtual support groups, because everything we run is peer support. So that's quite an important thing that anybody needs to remember about our services. And we are 100% survivor-led and run. Everybody in the organisation's got lived experience of self-harm. So we run our virtual peer support groups for adults. We've got quite a few of them at the moment. We've got 8 of them running. It's a very easy process to get on the invite list. It's a very simple form on the website. There's no fancy referral, no professional referral required. It's quite straightforward. We also got a group that we call the in-betweeners. So they're for people who are kind of in between self-harming and not self-harming, basically. So they're struggling still with urges, but they're not acting on them very often. The standard groups might be a bit too heavy for them, maybe a bit too triggering. So it's a bit of a lighter touch. And we also got a group for parents and family of people who self-harm. And the person who self-harms doesn't have to be a child. It could be an adult as well. So it doesn't matter, as long as they're supporting somebody, we're there to support them. We have got a Facebook group that's for all ages. Heavily monitored, as you can imagine, very strict rules that we follow quite carefully. So a lot of resources, and we do training for professionals as well.
Okay, brilliant. So Jenny, you're the founder. So going back a little bit, how did Battle Scars come to be what it is today?
I basically needed support. I've been self-harming since I was 13, and I went about quitting a few years ago in a very wrong way. I just basically went cold turkey with it. Self-harm can be very addictive, and I was very addicted to it. And it didn't work, let's put it this way. And I ended up having some involvement with mental health systems, trying to find some support. I couldn't find any. And it was basically my need for support. I thought, if I find some people who understand what I'm going through, maybe together we can move forward. And that was basically how Battle Scars was formed. We were not obviously thinking about creating a charity at the time or anything as big as what we've got now. But things just keep growing and there is a lot of demand.
Fantastic. And so you use a peer support system. What are the benefits of peer support?
They're so easy to see when somebody joins one of our groups. The relief they feel that they can be understood, that they're not going to be judged, that they can say some of their darkest thoughts and most difficult things about their behaviour, and people will understand. And like I said, they're not going to get the weird looks that they're afraid they're going to get. They're not going to get anything like this. And it is about support. So nobody's trying to give advice. We are just speaking from our own experience. Because sometimes, you know, what I tried works for somebody else, but obviously sometimes it doesn't. But I would say in a group, for example, you know, this is what I did and this is what helped me. Some people go, actually, that's a good idea. And because it's coming from us, because we tried it, it's a bit different to accept some information like that when it's come from somebody in the same position than if it came from a professional who just did a degree and hasn't got the lived experience. You know, their skills are elsewhere, ours are elsewhere. We try to combine all that and we try to work very closely with statutory services as well. Because, yeah, we all got our own skills. And the whole idea is to try to bring it all together and support the person who's struggling as much as possible.
So going back to those people who might need support, are there certain signs to look for that kind of suggest that somebody might be self-harming?
It's really difficult, to be honest. There are some kind of basic things that you might notice. Somebody just covering up. There are a lot of people in this weather at the moment who are wearing long sleeve stuffs and hoodies and long trousers and stuff like that because they're trying to cover up their injuries. So that is a bit of a giveaway, to be honest. But, you know, if it was winter, nobody would know. In some cases, when somebody has just taken up self-harming, there could be some changes in behaviour, some changes in mood. But again, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're self-harming. For some people, you know, that if we get it quite often from parents saying, oh, you know, I noticed the bloody tissues in the bathroom or something. So that it kind of is a bit of an alarm bell going off. But again, with the majority of them, when they find out, quite possibly their child has been self-harming for months before they spotted anything. Because what happens is nobody's mind wants to go there. So automatically when you see something like this, you'd be thinking, oh, you know, it's puberty or it's stress or it's something like this. And yeah, it is those things. But your mind doesn't want to go to self-harm. It's a bit of a dark area that most people would prefer not to go to. And that's why a lot of people can hide it quite successfully, because those around them don't want to go there. And it is very difficult to spot, let's put it this way. What we're trying to do is obviously continually chipping away at the stigma. If we can break it or not, it's another story. We've got a long way to go yet. So that people know that we're here and that there is support and that self-harm is not shameful. It's an indication that something's not quite right, but that person is finding life a bit difficult for whatever reason. And that hopefully then that person can reach out. And that will be a much quicker way than waiting for somebody to spot it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we're trying to do, just encourage people to try reaching out. If they say, if they think the support's there, hopefully they'll find that a bit easier to do.
Yeah. And how big is the support network within Battle Scars?
It's not as big as we'd like, let's put it this way. We are still quite a small organisation. We've only been going as a charity since 2018. So we are quite small. And there isn't enough support in the country. I know there's a few more organisations, but between us, you know, we know we're only scratching the surface. At the moment, fortunately, and because of the way that we're operating, we don't have waiting lists. We don't have anything like this. People can access the support pretty much instantly. We are responding, you know, to demand. If we're seeing that, like, we'd only just increased the groups to 8. You know, when it was 7 groups, we noticed that some of them were filling up really fast. It's like, right, okay, people are getting left out. That's definitely an indication for us we need to increase the groups. And that's something we're just going to continue doing, basically. And because it's gone virtual, because it's gone national, we can attract volunteers from anywhere in the country, which is absolutely fantastic. Getting people involved from different parts of the country is absolutely brilliant. It's something that we didn't think we'd be able to do yet. So it's something that we really enjoy. It makes the community a lot bigger. And it helps us reach more people again.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And you said earlier as well that it's kind of an alternative route to take rather than going straight to your GP, or is it something that might be referred from a GP to go to you guys?
It can be signposted, yeah. Like I said, we don't take referrals as such. So, yeah, signposting, we do get that from everywhere. It's not about an alternative, it's an extra. You know, that what we try to do is all to work together, because the GP, you know, that person could be struggling with depression. It might be worth them trying some antidepressants. You know, they could be helpful to them. And obviously a GP will have to do that part. Also, a GP might also be aware of some of the local services that we are not aware. So, again, they can give them information that we can't, and we can give them support that the GP can't. It is about what we encourage people to do quite often is to have a think about different ways that they can be supported, build that support network, and have the professionals, have the family, have the organisations, have the friends, and make it quite varied as well. Because you're going to go to your friend for one thing, and you're going to go to your GP for another, and you're going to come to us for another.
Mm-hmm.
But putting all that together, it starts creating quite a robust network that you've got people to reach out to pretty much any time. And it's quite important. It's really difficult for people, again, because self-harm's got such a large stigma attached to it. They find it so difficult to reach out. And if you disclose to your family, for example, you get a really not bad reaction as such. It doesn't have to be a bad reaction, but most people would be quite scared when somebody discloses to them that they're self-harm. So they could react in a way, it's like, oh, you have to stop what you're doing. This isn't good, you've got to stop. And then that person's feeling under a lot more pressure. And what we often see is that they're not able to stop. And then they're in a worse position than before they disclosed, because they feel that they're lying, they feel that they're hiding things, they feel that they're deceiving somebody or breaking a promise. So the way to counteract it is acceptance. Just start by accepting that this is where that person is. You know, this is what they're struggling with at the moment. This is the method they're using to cope. And if they know they're accepted, then hopefully they'll start coming to that person and go, you know, this is how I'm feeling at the moment. This is what's going on. Or even if they go after the self-harm and just go, you know, yes, I have self-harm. I feel a bit rubbish now. And that person might just have to go, well, let's just sit and watch a film together. They don't have to have a conversation about it. It's just knowing that there is somebody there that they can just be themselves and try to relax. And then maybe when they're ready, they'll start having that conversation. Or maybe when they're ready, they start reaching out a lot earlier. That is the aim for everybody, really, to start reaching out for that support much sooner. But it is also about understanding themselves and their self-awareness. Self-awareness is a key part. You know, we have to understand what makes us tick. We have to understand, you know, where we're coming from, what the triggers are, what can we do to look after ourselves, how can we protect ourselves, what distractions do we need to use, which person do we need to reach when we're feeling angry, or which person do we need to reach out to when we're feeling depressed? And that really comes with self-awareness. And it's quite interesting because we are working with some young people that is quite local, because we're going into schools. And we are seeing that quite a lot of young people, actually, their self-awareness is a lot higher than one would expect for that age. So it's worth kind of having some more in-depth conversations with them and being very honest. You know, our staff and volunteers are going to schools. They've got their scars showing and they're very, very open about what's happened in their lives. And if there's somebody, you know, been struggling with an eating disorder for 20 years, they're going to be very open about what that's done to their lives. Mm-hmm. And everybody appreciates that. We're not about covering things up. We're about just being honest and truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And then we encourage them to be honest and truthful back. Unfortunately, we see that it's not always the case when somebody works with professionals. There's quite a power imbalance there. You talk to a professional about something, you're quite worried about what's going to happen to you. So people can be a bit hesitant to be totally open with a professional until they've had a chance to build that trust.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people with us, that step happens a lot quicker.
And have you seen the impact of COVID? Have the numbers of people self-harming increased with COVID?
COVID's had an interesting effect in a lot of people. Obviously, it's got a huge effect on mental health, and we haven't seen the full result of that yet. What we noticed is some people, depending on the triggers, really. So in some cases, a lot of people were quite anxious about social situations, about being out and about. So the isolation that COVID brought was quite beneficial to them. It removed a lot of those triggers away. You know, their stress dropped, their self-harm dropped. Obviously, on the opposite side, you know, a lot of people lost from people, jobs, freedom, a lot of the distractions that they were using, a lot of the things that were keeping them well. And obviously that put a lot of stress. So there we have definitely seen an increase. And like amongst young people, the fact that about a year and a half in their development just didn't really go to plan at all. Again, you know, this is the sort of thing that I'm saying, we just haven't seen the impact of that yet. We're going to see it over the next few years quite a lot. So we do expect a rise. We still expect a rise. Same that's going to be a rise in mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. So you are fully volunteer run as well?
No, we're not. We've got six staff.
Okay.
Six staff and about 40 volunteers.
Volunteers.
Say again, Heather, sorry.
Do you take on volunteers?
We do. It's just as and when we need them, we'll put a call out, we'll put it on social media, put it on our website, and, you know, we'll see who's interested, really. At the moment, the only volunteers we're recruiting is for a service where we're going to be calling people after they've had emergency treatment of self-harm. So the service itself is localised to Leeds, and that's where the funding's from. But the volunteers could be from anywhere, because it's a service that we're hoping that we can replicate in other areas. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for that service, we are recruiting at the moment. More often than not, to be honest, we tend to recruit from existing service users. You know, if we'd like more people for the virtual groups, for example, we'll see if any of our service users are interested, because they've been there, they've tested it, they've tried it for themselves, they know exactly how it works. It makes them quite ideally suited to then take on the role of facilitator, for example.
Yeah. So you've mentioned the kind of peer-to-peer talking aspect of it. Do you also kind of give people tools to cope with what they're going through and to move forward from where they are?
Yeah, that's the purpose of the groups, to be honest. A lot of people are quite worried about joining a self-harm peer support group. They're thinking that they'll be asked to talk, be asked to disclose. That's not what the groups are about. The groups are about finding ways to support each other, coming up with these ideas, looking at things from different angles. So a group, for example, the one that was on last night, they were looking about change and how do we cope with change, because that's a situation that really stresses a lot of people out. A lot of people don't like change, or they don't like sudden change, or, you know, people do tend to get more comfortable with the familiar, so they find change quite difficult. It could be a trigger for so many. So they were looking at change and how to manage it. Another group could look at boundaries. How do we set these healthy boundaries? How do we protect ourselves and, you know, from others overstepping our boundaries? And how do we learn not to overstep other people's boundaries? Again, things that could be quite triggering and quite difficult for people to deal with. Obviously, as you can imagine, we've got a number of sessions where we look at guilt, we look at anger, really powerful emotions that are quite difficult to handle. And, you know, it's not about... because it's not a course. What we're doing is not a course. It's about, let's just get together. Let's just have a think about this. Let's just come up with different ideas. Let's see what would work for us and maybe will work for somebody else. And quite often people could say, oh, you know, I had this particular situation that I felt it was really difficult for me to handle. And I wasn't sure what to do with it. And some other people say, oh, I've had this as well. You know, this is what I did. Oh, good idea. You know, so... we're not telling them what to do. Yes, we have got a lot of resources and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff on the website that people can have a look at and get some ideas from that. But it's about just having that conversation and encouraging people to think about those ideas themselves. It's much better when you can come up with your own ideas or get a bit of a hint from somebody and then build up on it, because it helps build the self-esteem, builds confidence, again, other parts that we need to try and develop.
Brilliant. Well, Jenny, for our listeners, can we take your contact details so that our listeners can get in touch?
The easiest thing to find us is just Google Battlescar Self-Harm. We'll come up at the top. It's the easiest way to find us because our website address is a bit long, to be honest. Since we don't offer phone or internet or, email support, best place to go is go on our website, have a look. We do occasionally support people over the phone, but it's not something that we can do because we don't have premises. So the phone's here with me. And if, like for now, obviously I wouldn't be able to answer the phone, for example. But if somebody does need something, they ring us. Even if they leave a message, we'll definitely get back to them. Same with emails. You can get in touch through the website. There's a contact form on the website. But yeah, we do encourage people to have a look through the website because pretty much all the information they need about the groups is there. That is, we've got a section for parents and families specifically with do's and don'ts, a very quick and easy kind of go-to area where they can get some quick advice about how to deal with stuff. There's a lot of downloadable things. We do support organisations as well. So they can order leaflets from us, we'll just send them out to them. There's things like how to build your own self-harm policy, which most organisations don't have. We just try to, again, it's supporting the people of self-harm, but supporting everybody around them as well, supporting those who support them, because we know we can't reach everybody. But if we can support one professional, that professional might be able to support 10 people. So that's just how we try to reach as many as possible, really.
Brilliant. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great to have you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
There we go. That was Jenny Groves from Battle Scars. Amazing woman and an incredible organisation as well, helping support those in need and breaking down the stigma around those experiencing issues relating to self-harm. A huge, huge thank you to Jenny for coming on the show, and a massive thank you to everybody at Battle Scars as well for the amazing work that you do. Just want to say a big shout out to Leroy as well. Thank you so much for getting in touch. That's Leroy over in Leeds. Really, really lovely to hear that you're listening. So thank you. Got time for another song now. I'm going to play a track. Let me know you're listening. As always, our number is 01452 546 400, or you can always send us an email on emailing studio@gloucesterfm.com, or you can text GFM and your message to 666. Make sure if you're calling, you call me whilst the track is playing. I'm going to play the Heptones with Hard to Confess.
Hey!
Welcome back to the Community Link Show. I'm your host, Heather. I have a bereavement announcement to read. The funeral of the late Myrtle Francis will take place on Friday the 30th of July at St. Oswald's Church, Coney Hill Road, Gloucester at 12 noon. The family request that bright colours are to be worn by those in attendance, and the reception will follow at Matson Rugby Club, Redwell Road in Gloucester. I have some community news to read. So, Learning About Dementia Together online programme for family members and friends who are caring for somebody with dementia. Managing Memory Tuesday is on the 27th of July. That's tomorrow. That's between 7 and 8:30 p.m. You can book places and get more details by contacting 0800 694 8800, or you can email managingmemory@gch.nhs.uk. Are you a local entertainer to Gloucester, and do you have a talent that you would like to share? You can pop along to open mic sessions on Saturday the 31st of July and Sunday the 1st of August. For more information about that, you can email brainsjj, that's BRAINSJJ, so brainsjj, at hotmail.co.uk if you'd like some more information about that open mic session. Also, Gloss Jam presents Jamaica 59th Independence Day Celebration, a day for the whole family on Sunday the 1st of August between 1:30 and 9 p.m. It's going to be at Gloucester Park, that is GL11LY in Gloucester. There's also a free after party at the All Nations Centre, Chase Lane, 9 p.m. till 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Social distancing and face covering are optional, and you can put on your Jamaican colours and let's come together. For more information about that, you can contact Verona on 07740637916. That is one not to be missed, for sure. In accordance with ANCC Memorandum and Articles of Association, Section 9, notice is hereby given that an extraordinary general meeting of the All Nations Community Centre Limited will be held at 5 p.m. on Sunday the 8th of August 2021. That's at ANCC Chase Lane Estate, 61 to 63 Chase Lane, off Eastern Avenue, Gloucester, GL46PH. Please note that the deadline for membership has now passed and non-members are able to attend, but they will be unable to vote. During lockdown, a team of expert health and care professionals created a range of free online courses for friends and family caring for somebody with dementia. Coming up, our team are putting a spotlight on maintaining well-being when caring for someone with dementia, using music to connect and create a shared, enjoyable experience, and lots more. Visit dementiacarers.org.uk/get-support/live-online-learning for more information and to book a place. Or you can Google Dementia Carers and look for the live online learning section. Also, BBC One's Eat Well for Less is back, and they are looking for households to take part. Do you spend far too much on your weekly food shopping? Perhaps you're desperate to save, but under pressure to keep providing the household favourites? Well, they are looking for families or households or even communities who want to find out how to save. So if that's you and you want to apply and find out more, you can call 0117 970 7682, or you can email eatwell@rdftelevision.com. Also, a brand new series of the hit BBC series Lightning are currently looking for contestants to join the show. You need to be a UK resident and 18 years or older to apply. You just have to visit shortaudition.com/lightnings2. So I've got some time now to play another track. As always, let me know you are listening. And then I will be right back. I am going to play Otis Gale and I'll Be Around. That is coming up just after this short message.
Do you have the personality and ambition to help change lives and keep your local community safe? Gloucestershire Constabulary recognises the benefits of increasing diversity across our workforce. That's why it's important that people from ethnically diverse backgrounds apply to join the police when recruitment opens at the end of August. The Better Together team has a range of initiatives in place to help you succeed as a police officer. Come and meet the team at Gloucester Park on Sunday, the 1st of August, to find out why policing could be the right choice for you. Visit gloucestershire.police.uk or email bettertogetherteam@gloucestershire.police.uk for more details. Step up, make a difference. Join us.
Welcome back to the Community Link Show. You just heard Otis Gale with I'll Be Around. I love that song so much. Just got time now for your Gloucester good deeds. Keep getting them into me, though. Please do send them in because I love to read them. This one is from Michelle in Gloucester, and it says, please say a big, big thank you to the person who handed in my purse to Gloucester Police Station a couple of days ago with all of the money and cards still in there. I don't know who you are, but thank you so, so much. Yeah, if you witness or experience any acts of kindness, any good deeds, I want to hear about them. So please do get in touch. Email them over to me and I can read them out tomorrow. Just let me know the good things you've all been doing out there because it does make my day. And I like to spread the joy and the love here on GFM. So as always, if you've missed any of today's show, you can always go back and listen again. It will be repeated tomorrow at 11 as well.
This is David Rodigan, and you're listening to the Community Link Show on Gloucester's GFM 96.6.
So I've got a couple of jobs and notices to read out as well. Do you have 2 hours to help? This year's 59th Jamaican Independence Day celebration is going to be on Sunday, the 1st of August, 2021 at Gloucester Park as a way of getting people together, meeting up with friends and family that they haven't seen or spent time with over the last 14 months. You can eat some food, listen to some music and just chill. It's been organised with very little time and they really, really do need your help to make it an enjoyable day. So they're looking for stewards. Friendly people who will walk around, talk, chat, make people feel comfortable on the day. Stewards to help keep the environment clean by encouraging people to use the bins and tidying up any rubbish. Stewards to encourage people to respect those who still want to social distance and wear face coverings. And we're also looking for volunteers to help clean up at the end of the evening as well. So if you would like to help us make this a fantastic day for the community, please contact Verona. That number again is 077-406-37916. Call her after 6 p.m. And please do get involved. Also, GFM is supporting local businesses. The pandemic has hit me hard with our cleaning business and I'm looking forward to giving back to the community 7 free oven cleans to your listeners. All they have to say when calling is I heard about you from GFM and the first 7 callers get a free oven cleaning service. It's over £1,000 worth of prizes and it's available immediately anywhere in Gloucestershire. So all you have to do to win is to phone Paul Campbell on 075 167 66689. Tell him that you heard about the offer on GFM. That number again is 075 167 66689 and claim your free oven clean. Well, thank you so much for joining me today here on the Community Link Show. Again, a massive, massive thank you to my guest, Jenny Groves from Battle Scars. Up next, I'm going to be followed by Joey Coyne, who has got the soul-stepping R&B, soul, funky house and smooth jazz show. 2 hours of the finest, specially selected music for GFM listeners by Joey Coyne. At 9 p.m. we've got reggae time. We've got some reggae music from way back up till now, music for the young and the old. At 11 p.m. we've got hip hop, 2 hours of non-stop UK and US hip hop. And then from 1 a.m. onwards, we've got GFM in the mix, the best urban music on the radio in Gloucester throughout the night and into Tuesday. Like I said earlier as well, get those good deeds coming in. I want to hear about what you guys have been up to, what good things have been happening to you and what good things have you been doing for other people. Also, I want to say a big happy birthday to Mr. Wayne Wonder. I'm a huge fan of Wayne Wonder. Born this day, 1966, Von Wayne Charles is his real name. aka singer Wayne Wonder. He was born in Portland, Jamaica on this day in 1966. So a huge happy birthday to Wayne Wonder. I will be back tomorrow. So coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking Rum and Freedom Day. All going well, I'm going to be talking with Verona about the Jamaican Independence Day at Gloucester Park and also talking about Rum and Freedom Day as well. So fingers crossed I get to speak with Verona tomorrow about that. Obviously, I want to see you all at Jamaican Independence Day on the 1st. It's going to be great. Wednesday, we've got family time with Angie, Mario, Jay and Nicole. On Thursday, we've got the Young People Show with Liani. And on Friday, we've got Tay with the Friday edition of the Community Link Show, the latest film reviews, Mobo charts and lots, lots more. I'm going to leave you now with a really great track. I'm going to play Hurt So Good by Susan Cadogan. And then after that, we may have a little bit of time as well for just a cheeky Wayne Wonder track in there too. Thank you so much for everybody who's been listening. I've had a great time and I will speak to you tomorrow. Here is Hurt So Good.
Take my pride and you throw it up with you.
This is 96.6 GFM News.
At 7 with the BBC News, I'm Sophie Yardley. Two 14-year-old boys have been found guilty of murder after stabbing a 13-year-old to death. Ollie Stevens died in a park in Reading after being lured out of his house to meet a girl in January. A 14-year-old girl has previously admitted responsibility for her part and pleaded guilty to manslaughter. Praise and Delayla lives nearby.
He didn't even enjoy his youthful life and he's gone now. It's really sad. Every time I come here, just taking my work, I come and pay my respects to Oli. And I feel sorry for the parents that lost their son at an early age like this.
In 2005, an 11-year-old, Tom Daly, told the BBC he wanted to win an Olympic gold medal. 16 years later, with diving partner Matty Lee in the synchronised 10-metre platform in Tokyo, he got one. His mum Debbie spoke to BBC Radio Devon earlier.
I was with Lance and Robbie, Tom's little son. Well, we just were jumping around screaming and hugging each other and just, well, we were so pleased for them. It was amazing thing to watch. Great memory.
In total on day three, Team GB have won 3 golds and 2 silvers, putting them 5th in the medal table. Cyclist Tom Pidcock came first in the mountain bike cross country. Alex Yee won silver in the men's triathlon and Lauren Williams took silver in the women's 67 kilogram taekwondo. The number of people testing positive for coronavirus in the UK has fallen for a 6th day in a row. 24,950 cases were recorded yesterday, down from nearly 47,000 a week ago. Dr. Simon Clark from the University of Reading says we're not out of the woods yet, though.
It's a distinct possibility that we will indeed get a shock and that we may have to row back on some of those.